go ahead and let's stand and stretch your legs just one time before we get started. Let's go ahead and just pray real quick one more time. Lord, I pray that you would give us a study. I pray that you give us a study simple, powerful. Speak to us. Give us what we need, all of us. We all maybe need something a little different or however that works, Lord. I pray that you would give us. Give us what we need. I pray the Lord rebuke you, Satan. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are going to be... The study this morning, it's going to be mainly the Hebrews 3. We're going to start in verse 7 through 4, verses 13. But actually, if you want, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9 to get started. We're going to look at several different things here. And if there's a title to the study today, it'd be a warning against unbelief. That's kind of the theme that we're going to keep coming back to as we go through all this. And that... Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, I'm going to read down to verse, 29. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And then straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. And this is Jesus, he asked the scribes, what question you with him? What's going on here? Well, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which he has a dumb spirit, a mute spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. Just sickly, just awful. This is destroying my son. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, I don't like that he said, I don't know how he said this, but he said, O faithless generation. I don't know if he said it like that. However he said it. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And this is about the only real note. Well, how long will he suffer with us? He said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's what he said. How long? Faithless generation. How long? Well, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway, right immediately, the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground, wallowed and foaming on the ground. And he asked his father, and I don't know, I'm sure he knew this, how long is it ago since this came unto him? From a child. I don't know how old he is now. It's been a long time. And oftentimes it's worse than this. There's a fire, it'll try to cast him into the fire. If there's water, it'll into the waters to drown him, to destroy him. But the father asked, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, he said, Lord, this is why I wanted to read all this. He said, I believe. He said, help my unbelief. That's what he said. I find myself praying that a lot, crying out that a lot. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried, and it rent him sore, just made a big tore, just coming out of him, made a big deal about it, and left the kid, the boy there, it just left him as one dead, just limp, you know. It's kind of scary when you get up here. You don't know what you're going to say sometimes. Isn't that funny? No, but movies. I don't know. Seems like I watch movies, too many movies, but whatever. You see that kind of stuff in the movies, don't you? The person gets torn and they're just laying there, right? And the stuff for the movies comes from, a lot of that stuff that people, it comes from the Bible, doesn't it? I think about that a lot. Birds of the air, you know, the Bible talks about the birds of the air being spies and prophecies. We all like movies that have prophecies in them, don't we? We got a book full of prophecies here, real ones. You know, we watch the movies because we want to, you know, at least escape reality for a little bit, you know, and God says we can do that for real right here, you know. There's hidden dimensions and things all around us. If we'll just get in and believe this, see, they're warning against unbelief. We escape to the movies versus we can have the escape to this, which is a real thing, versus the movies, which are just copies and, you know, other things, demonic things as well, whatever. So he left him there as dead. And some people, he is dead. He's dead. No, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said to them, he said, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And he doesn't say how much you have to pray or how often or how much you have to fast or how often. There's no directions for any of that. So, you know, we all have to be led by the Spirit on that. But think about it, right? We all got to think about it and pray and see as a church, as a fellowship, you know, we try to lead and direct and do some of that stuff, but everybody's got to be convinced in their own heart, you know, what the Lord's showing them and you know, how that works. But that's what he said. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So whatever they were doing, I don't know. There's something there to think about. That wasn't really the focus for this thing, though. But he said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Just a simple, heartfelt prayer cried out. And then, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is going to sort of set the stage here a little bit for where we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, and I'm not going to say anything probably. If you've read your Bibles, I'm not saying anything up here that you haven't heard before. That's really not the point. And this kind of applies to a lot of things in life, I think. You know, don't just, and we'll talk about this more as we get in here too, but don't ever think you know everything. Let me go ahead and read, then I'll say it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, listen to what, you know, the Lord would want to speak to us. Even though you've heard this, you've heard this all before. What is God trying to show you today? What is he trying to show me today? So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that rock, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things, that wilderness, the coming out of Egypt, all that, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people they sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of servants. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, pretty much the same thing as an example, just maybe with a little more personal connotation. These things happened for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we're going to look, it gives us, what that does is it gives us permission to look at the Exodus and all that story as pictures and apply it to our lives, to our Christian walk, okay? That's why I read that. If you haven't heard that before, that's what that does. It gives us permission to, spiritualize the scriptures. We can take that and we can see, okay, this is like what it's like for us as Christians. And I say that because you know, there's portions of the church that spiritualize everything and don't think anything's literal. And you don't want to do that unless the Bible tells you you can do that, like the book of Revelation, for instance. You know, you take that literally unless where it's just obviously figurative. And much of the world and the church has got messed up because they spiritualize everything. So nothing really means anything. But we have permission to do that. He's given us that here. And then I'm going to read this verse a couple times today. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So everybody coming in here today, all of us, we're either probably in one of two spots. We know we need help and we want to hear the Lord and we need it, or we think, you know, I'm doing pretty good, right? So if you know you need help, you're looking for it, but if you think, oh, I'm doing pretty good, okay, take heed. If you think you stand, that's good, because we should be able to stand, right? I mean, we should get to where this life is. We know how to trust in God and we know how to follow and we're on solid ground. But we don't want to get puffed up about that and think, I've got this all figured out, you know. I think about that. You can apply that to, Mike was, you know, like people that jump out of airplanes, right? Man, the first time you jump out of an airplane, I did it one time, tandem with the guy, right? You know, and I didn't know anything, but I trusted him. You make sure your parachute's on, your spare parachute's on. My roommate was on the skydiving club, and he had his own stuff. He did it himself, and he had a backup chute, and he had this little thing that if he passed out, when you got to a certain altitude, his backup chute opened, and he was all ready, right? But when you get in trouble is when you've done 3,000 jumps, right? And it's no big deal. You're up in the plane for a jump, and you're over there talking or messing around, and they say, it's your turn to go, and you run and jump out of the plane, except you forgot to put on your parachute because you were so comfortable. I mean, Mike says that's happened a lot. And it's the same thing, and I know exactly what he's talking about. You know, I work on scaffolding sometimes, right? And if I've got some, not that I ever set up dangerous scaffolding, but if you set up something that's not very safe, you know, you're up there one time working on it, you're being real careful, right? It's when you get comfortable. I've done this all the time, and I don't think about it, and you kind of forget where you are, and the next thing you know, you fall off or whatever, right? Or sit with your car. You pull up to your intersection every day. It's a gravel road. There's never anybody coming. You think you stop and look, but you really don't. You just kind of go until one day the sheriff's zooming down the road 100 miles an hour, and you pull out right in front of him or something, right? So you can think practically how that works. So let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7. So he says, you know, in the book of Hebrews, I thought about giving you a lot of, We're just reading this little section out of the middle, but the book of Hebrews, the author's not named. A lot of people believe it's Paul. If you read it, it probably is Paul, but it doesn't really matter. It could have been, other people think maybe it was somebody else, but, and it was written probably to, it's sort of what is to the Jews, what Romans is to the Gentiles, sort of. And so you see a lot of that, the sacrifices and allusions to that and things that mean more to the Jews almost, but not that it doesn't apply to us, but it seems like that was who was, well, it was written to the Hebrews there in Jerusalem, most likely, probably about 10 years or so before the Romans destroyed the city and ended the animal sacrifices. Hence, a big theme in this is, the priesthood, the way that God had set it up, getting them ready for when it wasn't going to be there. It's still not there. Okay, so what do? They don't know how to deal with that. But if they'd read this book, they would, because Jesus fulfilled all that. All that was a picture of what he did. But for what we're reading today, that we don't really get into a lot of that. So verse 7 starts out, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. We're going to see that several times. Today. Take heed. Today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice. He's speaking today, maybe through me, maybe through his word, maybe through somebody else that you talk to. Listen for him to speak. Take heed for something that he's trying to speak to you today. A warning against unbelief. That's what we're going to see here. Says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers, they tempted me, they proved me, and they saw my works for 40 years. So if you want, you can turn to Exodus chapter 17, or if you want to listen, you can just listen. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, the provocation. What's he talking about? So all the congregation of the children of Israel, they journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they pitched in Rephidim. They had come out, they were in Egypt, which is a type of the world, sin, bondage, hard taskmasters, right? And they had come out of the world. And, I mean, that was a miracle, right? Remember all the miracles, all the works, all the things they saw? They came out, and it was good. 3 days out or so, there's no water. There's no water for the people to drink. That's a big deal, right? They'd forgot. And the people, what they did, verse 2, they did chide with Moses. Now, chide, we're going to see they were about ready to stone him. That means they were going to kill him. They were so mad at Moses. And they said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, Why chide with me? Don't you realize that you're tempting the Lord? I didn't do this. I'm just doing what God showed me to do. And the people, they were thirsty. They thirsted there for water. The people murmured. I mean, remember a million? There's lots of people. The people murmured against Moses. Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses did what they should have done. Moses cried unto the Lord, what shall I do unto this people? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you the elders, take your rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, which means chiding and tempting or something like that. Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because of they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That's what they did. They didn't believe. We'll talk more about this as we go. So back in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Psalm 103, verse 6 says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And that's interesting. Think about that. The acts of the Lord, what he did versus his ways. We have got to learn his ways. If we only know his acts and what he does, we're going to end up like them. But the Lord, the Lord is merciful. Merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He is gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He says that twice. He's merciful. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I love this. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind, we know about the wind today, passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. So we can do that if we're not careful. We can err in our hearts. And we can only know God's works. We cannot know his ways. Deuteronomy, if you look at it, search in Deuteronomy, search in the Bible, walk in his ways. Deuteronomy, there's over 100 places where it says walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. We got to read our Bibles. We got to read our Bibles to get to know him, to learn his ways, okay? We have to hang out with him. I keep thinking of that movie. We have to learn his ways. All right, I don't want to tell you that movie did. But we have to learn his ways. We have to hang out with him to learn his ways. Verse 12. Take heed. Take heed, brethren. You and me, we're all brethren here. Brethren. These epistles, these New Testament epistles, were meant to be read in churches. To the simple thing, huh? That's what we're doing. I'm reading them. So take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed means to be careful. Take heed means to give serious attention to warnings. This is a serious warning God's given us. Give serious attention to warnings, to advice, to some realities or facts or situations, take them into account when acting. It means to be careful, precautious, to take care, ensure that certain things are done or not done to avoid ugly effects or unpleasant results. Take heed. There's a possibility, this could be us, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. I love that verse. That's one of those verses I always remember. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Today is the important day. Think about that. Today. It's always today. What do we worry about? Honestly, I don't worry a lot about today. I'm always worried. What am I worried? I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about next week. I'm worried about April 15th and April 30th, right? That's what I'm worried about. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation that we just read about. Verse 13 again, exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Here, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And this is, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Isn't that funny? It doesn't say, when thou sit in thine house, watch TV. When talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. That's what he said. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Actually, here's a note I made about that you're today, the hardened hearts through the deceitfulness of sin. Here's a little known fact. Sin will deceive us and it will harden our hearts. If you're deceived, you do not know it. We can only trust what God tells us. Think about that. Little known fact. I wrote that myself, by the way. How do you like that? If you're deceived, you do not know it. We can only trust what God tells us. I think, where do we get our information? Where do we get our information? I try to only trust what God tells me. You get information from everywhere. We can really only trust what God tells us. Now verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So, in Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for me to live, he said, is Christ. And he said, to die is gain. Can't lose. In Mark chapter 8, verse 35, Jesus said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And don't mistake here, when I read this verse, I see both. I see justification and I see sanctification, right? Because Well, you see, I can see all, both of that in this verse. We are made partakers of Christ. So we, and to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto thee. You know, so to sort of hang on to that. I see that. We hang on to our salvation. You can't lose that. It's a free gift. But then I kind of, when I, the sense I get from that verse is to really be a partaker with Christ. You know, we've got to make the right choices. You know, we've got to learn his ways and do these things, right? But either way, we've got to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Again, today, you know, listen, he said, that's a, what, the third time we've read that? You know, this is for reals. You know, I know someone who can help you. You know, he's not a water gypsy. It's the Lord, all right? See, too many movies. I could probably talk all in movies, and you would have no idea what I'm saying. That's not good. Here's another thing I learned. Here's a little-known fact. I just learned this. Just like, I just kind of came to this realization. You can't really just decide you want to watch a movie, because you'll spend 2 hours trying to find a movie you want to watch, and it's awful, the one you watch. So when a good movie comes up, either save it or watch it. Otherwise, just don't waste your time, you know? Watch football or something. There you go. That's not anything. That's just my opinion. But for reals, the Lord can help. First, he can help. If today, hear his voice. You have a chance to hear his voice. Sorry you have to listen to my voice today, but don't just block that out. Look for what he's speaking to us through this. And then harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Oh, they watch the fiddler on the roof. There you go. There's one you can, that's a good one to watch. Fiddler on the, I can't remember what I was going to say, but anyway, verse 16, for some, I like how he says this, when they had heard, it did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. He said some of them listened. You know how many listened? Two. So you're telling me there's a chance, right? We got a chance. We do. We have a chance. If you're here, we have a really good chance. Notice there's not a ton here. But there is a chance. There's a good chance. Joshua and Caleb, they listened. They learned his ways. The rest of them, that generation, millions of them, they were saved, came out of Egypt, but they died short of what God had for them. Verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? It is possible to come out of Egypt, you get saved, only to die in the wilderness short of the promised land. It is possible. See, short little thing here. You get saved. We get saved. And you come. You get saved. You come out of Egypt. Really, at that point, we only know what he's done. We only really know what. We don't really know his ways. We don't really. You don't get to know a whole lot to get saved. You know you're a sinner. You know he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. You know there's slavery and bondage, and we need to get away, and we know there's hell. That's about all. And so you know what he did. You know his works, but we don't know his ways. And then you come out of Egypt, and we're in the Lord's army. So now you get trained. And the wilderness was placed, and the journey to the wilderness was the place for training. They were supposed to be getting trained, but they weren't getting their training. Many of them in that training, that wilderness time, ended up, went from like a year is what it, to the 40 years they spent till that generation died off. But then, so then after your training, then this is, so pictures of us, right? We get saved, we come out, we get trained. You get trained. Read your Bibles, come to church, get trained. And what do you get trained for war for? You gotta fight. We gotta fight. There's like, getting ahead of myself here, but how many word times does fight appear in the Bible? I think it's like 387 times. No, that's fear. I didn't even look at fight. Fight. We have to, the promised land, remember when they went into the promised land, they crossed the Jordan River, picture of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, kind of they had their training, then they've got the Spirit, now you just like us, we get trained, we get the Spirit, now we've got everything to go into the promised land, milk, honey, you know, giants, walled cities. They had to fight. So we, as Christians, we're in the Lord's army. It's like a battle, or it's like a race where you got to run, right? Or it's a fight. And then after we've, you know, Paul said, you know, when we've finished this life and our course and all that, then heaven, then you get to stand there and you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? So it's possible. And we see it here. They did it. Most of them did it. They came out of Egypt only to die in the wilderness. God doesn't want us to do that. Does that sound very cool? It doesn't sound real cool, all right? I mean, granted, they got to eat bread that came down from heaven. They got sick of that real fast. Miraculous bread from heaven. They got sick of that. You know, their shoes never wore out. Don't you just like to get new shoes? Wouldn't you just like to have the same ones all the time? It wouldn't bother me if they didn't get wore out, but I don't really care about shoes, but whatever. But they got sick of that. They didn't learn his ways. Verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? It was them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We have to believe. They believed the propaganda, the lies from the devil. They were deceived. They died short of fulfilling God's mission. God's mission. All things are possible, right? Not mission impossible. God's mission. All things are possible. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up the child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. The devil knows this better than we do, I think, almost. I promise you, he is doing all he can to train our children in the way they should go. You know, are we? I'm convicted. God help us. We can fight a losing battle. Do you know that? We can, and that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be all scattered out. You look at this, where do you even start to fix the problems in this world today? I mean, there's no place to even start. The wall, sure. You know, whatever. So we have a plan. We need to make sure we're fighting the good fight. That's where we've got to fight our fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says this in 2 Timothy at the end of his life. 2 Timothy, I don't know if it's exactly the last letter he wrote, but it was one of the last letters. And it was writing it to Timothy. It was probably the last thing he got to write before he died. Very possibly, or one of the last ones. It was the last he was going to get to tell Timothy. And at the end of it, he says, Timothy, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. And our weapons, remember, our weapons, we have weapons, are not carnal weapons. We have the word of God. We have prayer. Our weapons are not carnal. And so chapter 4, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. 387 verses in the Bible have the word fear in them, at least that I could see in my Bible program I like to use. Most of them fall into one of two categories. Either fear not, because what are we afraid of? Fear not. Or fear the Lord. And that's probably a whole series on itself. I mean, literally, even for me, I think I could probably do a whole on what it means to fear the Lord. There's so much to learn about the fear of the Lord. We learn here that he has a rest for us. There is a supernatural rest we have in the finished work of what Christ did and under the shadow of his wings, and we should be afraid of not getting that. He said, fear that. In verse 2, whereunto was the gospel preached? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I just love that picture, that mixing, a mix. You have mixed stuff. You gotta mix it. Stuff just doesn't mix itself, does it? James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Again, deceiving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. See that? Take the word. We gotta read. We have to read. You have to hear the word. And then you do what it says. I could tell you a whole bunch of things it says, but it'd be much better if you read it and let God show you what it says. Like one thing that does is you need to come to fellowship and be in fellowship, right? You're here. I don't got to tell you that. But read it and do what it says. I think we make it harder than it needs to be sometimes. Mix it with faith. Verse 3, for we which have believed and do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. and in this place again if they shall enter into my rest. So this is, again, I think he's writing to the Jewish mindset a little bit more in those verses. You ever read things in the Bible and you're like, what are they talking about? That is weird. Why would you say it that way? What? But I think in this place, he's talking about, there are several different rests talked about in the Bible. God created the world. The Creator, he created the world 6 days, and then he was done. He rested. He stopped. Well, that's not the rest that he wants us to enter into, okay? And then he was talking about God gave the Jewish people, which is who this was, you know, written to, the Jews in Jerusalem, the Sabbath rest, you know. And that's not what we don't go on, you know, the Sabbath rest, sundown on Friday, sundown on Saturday. You know, we don't, Christians, we don't have to enter. That's not our rest. This rest that we have is resting in the finished work of Jesus. It's a rest and a peace that surpasses all understanding that he has for us. So I think that's what that little part there. And so verse 16, therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. There's still a rest. It's not those rests. There's still a rest for us to enter into. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, if so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So in Moses' day, there was a rest. Some of them didn't go in. God spoke through David in the Psalms. There's still another day. That was 400 years between there. And now from then to now is another 2,000 plus years. There's a rest for the people of God that we get to enter into when we believe and when we do what God says. Well, that's good. So there's a rest. There is, and I, you know, that's one of those things. There's a rest. Don't you want to rest? Don't you like to rest? It's good to rest and get to rest in God, to rest in what he's done, to rest in, you know where you need to be with him, right? I know what I don't know if you, I have, see, put something on your heart to do and you know you need to do it. And then you finally do it, then you can rest. I did what he showed me to do. I feel like that a lot. I have those things I don't, it's not that I don't want to do it, it's just a spiritual battle, I think. God wants me to do it, and you know by faith you do it, and then when it's done, you can rest. Part of that being able to just rest in what he's done and what he's called us to do, and we know we're where we need to be. You know, I think I'm standing, okay, I better take heed, I better look in the mirror. What does the mirror say? Right? You understand that picture, right? You look in the mirror, oh man, we all, you know, you don't just look in the mirror and go, eh. Well, you know, I look in the mirror in the morning and I put a hat on and go out the door, you know. But you get the picture, right? You wipe, clean your face or whatever you do. Don't forget. Get up, read. The Bible's like a mirror. It's showing me what I need to clean up, what I need to work on, what I need to pray. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Right? So, let's see, verse 8, 4, if Jesus, or really this is a reference to Joshua, if Joshua had given them rest, then would they not afterward have spoken of another day? So again, these different rests, not the rest he's talking about here for the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And then, verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter the rest. Isn't that funny? Don't you love those words together? It's just like freedom's not free. Think about all the blood that's been spilled for freedom. And think about the labor it takes to be able to rest. It does sort of go together. I didn't think about it before, but the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Remember that? And our labor, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We read our Bibles, we do what it says. You know, we screw up, we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me not to do that. Whatever. That's what the Bible says. How do I know to do that? Because that's what the Bible says. We read our Bibles, we do what it says. The Bible says a lot of things. The Bible says, it says a lot of things. Everything we need for life and godliness is found in there. God created us. He created us. He sustains us. If he let his hand go, we would go up in fire. It's going to happen. Not by a flood again. What's the rainbow? Well, he's not going to destroy the earth with a flood again. Whew. Yeah, it's going to be fire next time. Right? He sustains us. He loves us. How do I know all this? I read it in the Bible. He speaks to us through the living word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. You understand that? I don't know. It's what the Bible says. It's one of those things you know it's true and you like it's poetic and majestic and true. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. I'm the bread of life. Not me. Jesus is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'm not even going to follow that through. You blow your mind trying to think of how all this stuff works. Like watching movies about different dimensions and I mean, that's reality. That's true. The Bible speaks about different dimensions. Remember that? I love that story, the Old Testament. Was it Elisha? Elisha. And the army. Who keeps telling the Syrian army, whatever? Who keeps telling? How do they know? They are always one step ahead of us. Well, they got a prophet, and God tells them in when you're alone. Where is he? Got there, goes out, they're surrounded. And the servant goes out, we're surrounded, this is bad. No. Look, open your eyes. Horses and chariots of fire, it's just, you know, that's reality. This is reality. I mean, this is real, but there's more than this. Okay, there's another dimension, there's angels. We do baptisms. You know one of the reasons we do baptisms? It's a witness to angels, right? You could be, somebody here could be an angel. I don't know, who could it be? I know who it's not. No, just kidding. No, but seriously, angels are watching. There's a realm that we can't see with our eyes. How do we see it? Because the Bible says it's here. There's demons. We just read about that, right? We can't see it. It's real. It's true. There's prophecies, right? It's real. So we read our Bibles. We do what it says. And then, that's going to be about right. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints, the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I've heard a lot of, you can, generally, here's what this spoke to me. The Word of God, the Word of God, it's a tool. It will get the job done. If you use it, if I use it, it will work. It is the perfect tool for what we need. God has provided, and I'm thinking, not that we're machines, but I'm thinking in terms of machines. You get a machine, right? I was looking at a machine. It comes with a good manual. All the tools are in there that I need to work on this machine. God has given us the perfect manual and the tool, the word, picture, not a perfect picture, to optimize his creation. We have everything we need. Man has everything he needs at his disposal to live this life the way we were created to. Think about it. We have everything we need. Man has everything he needs at his disposal to live this life the way we were created to. I just think, and it just kind of blows my mind. And this is a bit off track, but I mean, just think how we live in this country. We were talking about this yesterday. We were riding our horses. We took a ride, and not very far in a car, but we don't usually ride it on our horses, and we rode it, and it took a little while. And one of my sons was, what did he say? He said, "Man, imagine if we didn't have cars." And I'm like, "I know. Do you know when my grandpa was a kid? He just died last fall. I mean, they were still using horses. They didn't have running water in the house, you know. No electricity until he got home from World War II. Working with a horse and a plow still. Really, for only like the last, 200 years of human history, have people lived like we do here? You know, just show it. Somebody sent some pictures from, they were in Africa, and just, could you imagine living in a dirt-floored little hut, or, you know, and still getting your water from, they had a hand pump, a new well somebody put in. You had to go, that's where you got your water. People in the world live like that still today. We live like kings. Can you believe it? It's crazy. It doesn't change really anything. It shouldn't. God's word does not change. And what he, where you're at, that's where we're supposed to, you don't have to be like, oh, I got to have a dirt floor. No, I mean, it's clear where you're at, where we are at, that's where we need to function, right? Read it and do what he shows us to do, where he's leading us to go. So we're almost done. I'm going to read this last verse and then a few verses in the Psalms, and then we'll, actually four verses. So neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I love that. With whom we have to do. Who do you have to do with? We have to do. Him we have to do. Nothing is hidden from him. Psalm 33 verses 13 through 15 says, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." I mean, nothing we do is hidden from him. And probably this verse is talking more about the animal sacrifices, how they would lay them open and cut up, you know, joints and marrow. I mean, they were supposed to cut those things up a certain way, and you could look at everything. You know, the outside, and you ever look at the inside much? Not very. You looked at everything, and God sees everything, and he knows. We can't hide from him. And then the last verse for this study, I just wrote this down this morning. I was finishing up. Here's a good verse to end on. You all know this probably. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen? We are going to observe communion this morning. So why don't you, Randy, let's go ahead and have the kids come in. And Chris will make his way up here. And I'm just going to say a few